I'll keep her in our prayers, and we tried to call her, but then she ended up calling us. That's why it's going on all prayer. So we got her with us this morning. Brother Darrell, is that the fan okay on you, or we need to change it?
Absolutely.
Are you all right?
Yes, sir.
Elder Darrell Hand is just very, very thankful to have him with us. I was told Sharon when I left the house, I'm sure old Brother Darrell will be there. I should have called him, but the Lord, it's better the Lord called you. Glad you're here.
Thank you so very much. It's just wonderful to be with you. As I was walking in this morning, Sister reminded me, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And wow, our song service was outstanding this morning. Just lifts our heart. It's a precious thing to come together and sing praises to our Lord.
Amen.
I had the distinct honor of being able to share the stand with Elder Oots last week down at Summerdook. And, you know, the old Baptists are a little bit different in their wisdom. But God tells us that by the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world knew not God.
Right, exactly. Wisdom.
That's an interesting thought.
It is.
As they call it from the old Baptist, as I introduced for Elder Oots, he had liberty that was wonderful. I knew it was from the Lord. How sweet is that? Mm-hmm. After the service, he came to me and he said, "Brother Darrell, I had something else on my mind, but the Lord gave him his thoughts." That is such a precious thing that we know that the God above, the Creator of all things, works with us from time to time. I wish I could say He works with me all the time.
Yeah, me too.
But it's such a special thing when you know the Lord touches your heart.
Yes.
It's a precious, precious thing in this life. You know, as I drove into town this morning, my eyes lit up when I saw a sign for Dunkin' Donuts. And I thought, you know, they put those type stores out there because they sell a lot of donuts. There's no one that goes out there and sets up a little stand or fast food service for apples and oranges and bananas. That's the wisdom of the world.
There you go.
Because the wisdom of God tells you that that apple and banana is a lot better for you.
Right.
In this time world.
That's true. Amen.
And it's a precious thing that we can think outside the box of the world.
Amen.
My daddy was an old Baptist preacher. He served a church and lived in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Served a church that was more than 400 miles round trip in El Paso, Texas, and enjoyed every mile that he drove, enjoyed gathering together with a small few for 20 plus years. The wisdom of the world says there's a big church right next to you, down the street, Elder Hand. Why don't you go there? But the wisdom is from God. I'd like to read to you in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, where he says in the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, "But the Lord is the true God." Think about who we're talking about this morning. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God.
Amen.
How precious it is that He lives today and works in our every being.
Yeah. Amen.
And an everlasting King. Everlasting King. This life is but a vapor, my dear friends.
Yes,
and the wisdom of the world says, that old Baptist church down there, all they sing about is, it's so sweet to die. Why would they do that? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a peace in that because we have an everlasting Heavenly Father.
Amen. Amen.
One that eternity is so much different than just our time world.
Right. Amen.
It's such a pleasure to know that and to feel that God is in charge. It is His wisdom. He says, an everlasting King, and His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation.
Amen.
Our brother told us, don't fear, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen.
John tells us there is no fear in love.
Right. Amen.
If you're afraid of anything, what is love? God is love, is what the Scriptures tell us.
Right.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
To know that. That's the wisdom of God. 12th verse. He hath made the earth by His power. This is who we're talking about this morning. God.
Amen.
He hath made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom.
Oh, can't you see it?
Think about that. And hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. Things that are from Him.
Amen.
14th verse. Every man is brutish in his knowledge.
That's pretty cool.
That's our natural man. We think in the wrong text in our own mind.
Amen.
He says, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in him. They are vanity and the works of errors. In the time of their visitation, shall perish.
That's it.
That is down to earth, brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
That's something that you can identify with because you are a child of God.
Amen.
Let me go over here a little bit in the New Testament. Talk a little bit more about this wisdom. This wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. First Corinthians, 18th verse. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Think about it as you think in this time world. Take every thought into captivity, the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block and unto the Greek foolishness. Let's go on into the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I think of this, and I think about your pastor. How dedicated he is. By the wisdom of the world, why would this man come preach to you and then travel for 2 hours to some place that there may not be a soul there? It's the wisdom of God. Because when he gets there, God is going to bless him with something. Just like he went to the little church the other day, thinking that there's no one going to be there. And he thought about possibly, with the wisdom of the world, to stay here with a birthday party. But God, being in charge, took him over there, and he sat and read minutes of the old church. He sat there and thought upon the Lord, and here comes knocks at the door. Those little ones had been thinking about God, and God brought them to that church house, and there was a servant of the Lord waiting upon them. Do you think that didn't lift up his heart?
Right.
Just like it lifts up your heart when you decide to travel for a ways to be with your brothers and sisters, because you feel such a wonderful thing in your heart when you're gathered together in His name.
Amen.
God blesses us.
Amen.
It's a precious, precious thing.
Amen.
It's everything to us. Why do we have to get older and over the hill before we recognize that? The world pulls us away. We want this and we want that, until we taste that wonders of God that works in us.
Yeah.
Are we afraid of death? Not at all. What death, where is thy sting?
Right.
I want to see my Savior.
Amen.
I want to be at a place where my Savior is. I've got to tell this one.
Okay.
There was a couple, a man and his wife, went up to the old pearly gates. St. Peter, they say, greeted them and says, "Well, come on in. There's a condominium on down the road. Just pick out the one you want. Swimming pool, tennis courts, good places to eat. Just abundant, beautiful trees, and enjoy things." The husband turned to the wife and said, "You know, if you would have told me this was going to happen, I never would have ate a piece of that diet bread or any of those old things that was supposed to make me live a couple of years longer in this earth. I want to go now." How precious it is to think about being with your Savior. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We don't get up here with notes. We don't want to impress you with our impeccable speeches. We want to talk about our Lord and Savior and God Almighty that has helped us in our life.
Amen.
Without God, we are nothing. "Without me, you can do nothing," Jesus says. Howbeit, in the sixth verse, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught."
Amen.
"But we speak the wisdom of God."
Amen.
Now what is that?
Yeah.
It's not the wisdom of this world. You don't incline to your own understanding.
Right.
He will direct your paths.
Mm-hmm.
Lean not on your own understanding. And he says, "The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
"But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery."
Sure.
No wonder the world can't figure this book out.
Right.
No wonder those that are not thinking about God cannot pick this up and understand a word that it says. It goes across from what the man born of God knows and is given by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
He says, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory."
Amen.
"But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared them that love Him."
Amen.
You are His child.
Amen.
You're a purchased possession.
That's exactly right.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ died for you.
Amen. Amen.
That you have right now in this time world the wisdom of God, which is an audience.
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus Christ with God.
Amen.
You can speak directly to God right now.
Amen.
You are His child. That is the Creator of all things. We don't understand any of it. If we know God, we know everything. Think about this.
Amen.
"But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit."
Amen.
Did that Spirit, Brother Gary, not hit you when you had your own agenda?
Yes.
And God took over. Amen. And He had the best liberty I'd heard of him in a while. Not that God doesn't always lead him, but it was very evident. And you can look at one another in the eye and tell that that's your brother.
Amen. Amen.
The God of all creation has knit my heart together with this elder. And with each and every one of you. It's like I've known you for a long time.
Amen.
And yet, by the wisdom of the world, we are strangers.
Right.
How can you go up and give a big old hug to a stranger, the world said? How can you sing them old dreary songs all the time? How can you go together in a little bitty flock and not try to show off and show off your new suit or whatever? It's just not the wisdom of the world that we follow. It's what God gave us. For what man knoweth of the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is in you.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to have.
Amen.
You feel it, you know it. You know that God is in you and have put His laws in your inward parts.
Amen.
Otherwise, you wouldn't feel that way. You'd be at the mall right now. You'd be watching that Sunday football game. But why are you coming together to worship God? He's a long-suffering God. He's not going to strike me dead if I don't go to church today. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is a drawing force.
Amen.
He says, I will draw you. It's a precious thing that we have. He says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world,
right,
but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's not the wisdom of the world.
Right.
Which also we speak, not in the world, which man's wisdom teaches.
Right.
But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen.
No, brothers and sisters, it's not logical. You're not going to figure out God by logic. They try to, and they say there is no God.
Right.
That's not the way God works.
Amen.
He works by the Spirit, His Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, that works in you.
Amen.
To will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen.
I am so glad that I have a God that performs those things in me and in my life.
Amen.
From time to time.
Amen.
But I am so unworthy. I am so wicked from time to time that I lose my sense with God sometimes. I want to overindulge. I want to overeat. I want to lust on things and have other things in this life, which are nothing in compared to those jewels that God puts in front of us. He brings us close to Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's all we have to do. Draw nigh to Him. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love Him? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you feel it? Spiritually discern. Something in you, something you cannot understand. The mystery of God is in you. The natural mind is not going to figure that out. We try and try and try to no avail. God works in you. He's there. You can feel Him. You know Him. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For, listen to this. For, listen, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may be, that may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. That's the good things, brothers and sisters. That's everything that's good. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's been so good to be with you today.
Oh my. You were just getting started, Brother Darren.
No, I wish you would have gone ahead. Was you started?
I was so good. Thank God for that. It's good. Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Let's sing a verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
I thoroughly enjoyed the services this morning. Enjoyed the preaching that's come before us. So thankful for Brother Darrell and getting Sister Nell and getting to know them. And I feel it's been a real blessing for us. I know here at Happy Creek and for our brethren in this part of the country to have them move in this direction. Feel it's of the Lord and just to be enjoyed our fellowship. And it's true. I feel like I've known him. I feel like I've known him all my life. He battles a lot of the battles I battle, and he has a lot of the same feelings that I have, and I believe we share a trust in the same wonderful God and what the Lord has done for us. That's a great, great benefit in this life that the Lord's allowed us to have his children. I'm not going to stand before you very long this morning. I feel the time has been well spent. I wish he'd have just continued on with what he was feeling, because he was saying a lot of things was already on my heart, and I'm always thankful for that. But since we do have some time, I'd like to just look at the first chapter of the book of Ephesians for just a little while this morning. My thoughts are primarily around verses 11 through 14, but I'd like to begin reading right at verse 1, read up to that. I wanted to let you know I didn't intend to speak on all that I'm reading and you're hearing. Of course, those who've been here very much know that I usually read a whole lot and don't get very far. And I tell you what I know, but that's not very much. And it doesn't always take very long to do that. So we're thankful for what light the Lord gives us. And when the Lord gives it to us, we recognize any good thing comes from Him. The writings of the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of Ephesians and the second chapter are some of the clearest language that's in the Bible, yet so much of it is misunderstood. But Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading right in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That verse just sums up who's writing and who it's to. It's the apostle Paul writing as one who's a servant of God. And it's by the will of God that he writes, and he's writing to those that are at Ephesus, and he's also writing to all the faithful that are in Christ Jesus, which includes, I believe, God's children wherever they are. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." As we've often said, this verse you'll find many times in the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he here tells us what his subject matter is and what's coming. Grace is the message. It's the same message over and over. Some people call this a salutation that he makes, but he's not just saying hello or how you doing. He's giving you the subject matter. And peace. The Lord would have us to have peace today. Not fear, not worry, but peace. And that peace is found through his grace. And notice that it's from God our Father. That's where your peace comes from. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that isn't two gods. That's one God manifest in three persons. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, verse 3, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. Brother Hand mentioned this verse. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." That means every good thing in our life comes from the Lord. He's the one, as Brother Hand said, we have access, audience with heaven. How can we, you and I, who are sinners, talk to a God who's holy and righteous, who knows not sin? We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our intercessor, the one who came manifest into this world, took on a body of flesh, and did everything that was necessary that we've got connection to heaven. So that when we're in trouble, we have the Lord to talk to. And He'll hear us, not because we're good enough, but because of what the Lord's done for us. And every blessing that you have in your life comes through Jesus. So every good thing. When your life has any good in it, every good thing comes from the Lord. Every blessing comes from the Lord. And your reason you have it is it came through Jesus. It came through not what you deserve, not your works. That's why we're not talking about what you have to do in order to get God to do something today. Those folks who are talking about that are really robbing, though I think many of them don't know that. They're robbing God of the glory that belongs to the Lord. Because the good things He gives to us is not because we did something good to get them. He gives them to us in spite of that. It's His grace. That's the difference between grace and merit. We don't earn them. It's given to us by grace. Those that it are given to are identified in verse 4. He says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now that tells me that there's no man who really chooses God before God has chosen him. God is the one who makes choice. And who did He choose? He chose every one of His people. Who did He choose them in? In the Lord Jesus Christ. When did He do that? Before the very foundation of the world. So how much did I have to do with that, or you have to do with that, or the preacher have to do with that, or anyone else have to do with that? The answer to that is absolutely nothing. God, according to His own good pleasure, purposed to save His people from their sins, and He chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. That we should be, that is, not only should we be now, but we will be one day holy. That means completely separate from sin and sinners. And without blame, that means without any charge. And that's before God. And you might stand before me and I'd say, I don't have anything to charge you with. I don't know anything. You haven't done anything against me. And that wouldn't mean anything before God. Because before God, He knows every thought I've ever thought, every action I've ever taken, everything that I've ever done, and the list of sins before God, the list of sins that I know about are immense. I have a mountain of them that trouble and plague my heart and my soul. But what they are before God, outside of the blood of Jesus, there is so much wrong with me. As a matter of fact, everything about me is wrong with me, outside of God's grace. Now somebody said, I thought this was good news. That didn't sound like good news to me. The good news is, you have an intercessor. You have one who is a mediator. You have one who stands between you and your sinful state and God. And He is the one who has washed you in His own blood, removed every sin, every stain, every blemish, every mark from you. And now you stand before a holy and a righteous God, if you're one that He chose before the foundation of the world, and you say, how can I know that? Well, you know that by the work of grace that's happening in your life right now. One thing, if I tell you, you're rotten and no good, and you get mad, there's not much evidence. But when I say you're rotten and no good, and you say, amen? Amen? You know me well? And you say that? That's an evidence that God loved you before the very foundation of the world. And you were chosen in Him. Otherwise, your mind, through the wisdom of the world, would never know the darkened state you are in by nature. But you've already been taught that before the preacher ever preaches it. If God's worked in your heart. And what the preacher does is tell you about the state. Almost, have you ever been to church and think, how did that preacher know what's going on with me? How did he have any understanding about my feelings? How did he know what was going on in my heart? How did he know that? Let me tell you, he didn't know a thing. He's just a servant of the Lord. He simply preached the wisdom of this book, the wisdom of God, which is the gospel. And the gospel message is clear and plain that Jesus came into this world to save sinners from their sin. He went to the cross for that. He died on the cross for that to wash us in His own blood. He went to the grave and He rose again that one day all of us will stand before Almighty God blameless. Said, why can an old Baptist say I'm not afraid to die because he knows my sins will not be held against me and have not been in the blood of Jesus, not because I deserve it, but because of His grace and He's been so good to me. He's been so wonderful to me. I tell you, which of us could look at our lives and think about all of God's goodness and say, God hasn't been dealing with us? Has he not been there? God forbid I not trust him. God forbid that I forget what he's done for me. May I remember who he is. May I remember the former times. Isaiah says, may I remember that great God who is the God not like any other God. And remember, I may not get to the verses I read, by the way, so don't get nervous. I mean the ones I read I might get to. The ones I thought I was going to get to, I may not get there. He says, we will stand, we should be holy and without blame before him. In how? In my goodness, in my belief, in what I did for him, and my acceptance of him, in my being obedient after I've walked in it. I'll tell you, if salvation is something you've got to get and then you've got to keep, we won't have it and we will lose it. Salvation is that which is the gift of God that has come because of the love of God. And when his love changes, his salvation will change. Can I tell you, he's a God who loves the same yesterday and today and forever. And his salvation is just as sure to those whom he loves as it's ever been. And none of them can be plucked out of the God who loves them, no matter what they do. Now, he loves you enough to whip you. He loves you enough to chasten you. He loves you enough to bring you back. He loves you. He doesn't love you in the sense of saying you just go live any way you want to and I'll be all right with it. That's not love. He loves you enough when you're his child and you pull away from him that he will take you to the woodshed and he will apply the wrath that needs to be applied. He even scourges every little child. And he does it not because he hates them or it's bad for them. He does it because he loves them and it's good for them. And so when you're going through some of those tribulations and some of those chastisements, remember, it's a great evidence God loves you. And that love will be with you forever. And the more we listen to him, the less we have to go that way. And the more we hear him and heed to him. The grace of God is not a licentious doctrine. You are responsible for what comes out of your mouth. You are responsible for where your feet go. You're responsible for what your hands do. You're responsible for what your eyes bring in. You're responsible for what you're hearing. God will hold you accountable as his little child because he bought you and paid for you not to act like the world, but to act better than the world, act above the world, and you do that by putting on the inner man which he has put in you. And that is an action on the part of the child of God, the born again, regenerated soul that is alive and made alive, has the ability to walk in the Spirit of God. He also has the potential to walk in the flesh. If that's not true, then when God worked in your heart, you'd be perfect in every respect. I ask you, have you met anybody perfect? I've met some people who thought they were perfect. I've looked in the mirror at a time every once in a while at somebody who thought they were perfect. Probably you have too. God has shown me I'm not. Without him, I'm nothing and can't do anything and don't know anything. But with him and by him and through him, I can do all things. That is, whatever he calls or asks me to do or commands me to do through Christ. Not through me, not through the preacher, not through the church, not through my reading, through him, which strengthens me. That's my strength. We'll stand holy and without blame before him in love. Can you imagine that day when we stand before the Lord? So many people imagine it and get scared to death. So many people think about the dime I have to stand before God. And they feel that they have to, because of what they've been taught, that I'm going to have to give an account of all the deeds that I've done, all the wrongs that I've done, all the things that I've done. Can I tell you, little child of grace, you'll answer to him in judgment right here in this time world, and he'll judge you as you walk here in this world. But when you and I stand before God, we will not stand before him alone. We will have an ally who loved us so much, who died for us, who is standing there, and he'll say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. And he will be the one who is our righteousness, He is our advocate. And you won't have to answer for anything because he's already taken that off of you and he's placed it on his own self. Now some would say, well, that means man can just go do what he wants to. I'm telling you, he works in you a different want to, doesn't he? You already are doing so much you don't want to. You're already dealing with that. I don't want to think like I think sometimes. I don't want to worry like I worry sometimes. I don't want to talk like I talk sometimes. And I want to walk better. I want to act better. I want to live better. Because, not because I'm afraid of Him. Listen, there's a fear of God that's the beginning of wisdom that He's worked in your heart. But that's not a slavish fear. That's a fear and a respect like you have for a godly parent, for a godly mother, or for a godly father. That's a relationship you can think about, that you're afraid of them, but not afraid they'll hurt you. But you know if you don't do what they tell you, there's a consequence. You know that, don't you? God loves you so much, He won't let you go just any way you want to. Now my competition's working. I love her though. God won't just let us go anyway. Aren't you glad God didn't just let you go anyway? Where would your life be today if He just let you go your way? Where would you be? If He just let you do what you wanted to do and act like you wanted to act in the times that you've been. Even since He's worked in your heart. If He just said, okay, I've done it in your heart now. You just go do anything you want to. I'll tell you, He gives you a will to want to serve and live for Him better in this world. And when you don't do that, you don't do it happily. So I'm saying to you, little child of grace, if you want to be happy, you listen to your Lord. You listen to the God of heaven. And you follow Him. Not to get to be His child, but because you are. And He says that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How did that happen? He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That means He predetermined our destiny to be the adopted children by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And it's His children. They are His children to Himself. And He did that not because I wanted Him to do it, but because He saw fit to do it. And He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. And then it's to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. But if I keep reading, I'm going to keep talking. And I dropped my glasses. The Lord of heaven has done a work of grace in the hearts of His children. He is working in our lives each and every single day. He is with us. We are to look to Him. We're to lean upon Him. And that believing in Him, trusting in Him, becomes a seal. And it's that seal that's put upon us is a protection for us as we face the troubles and trials of this world. And it is an earnest, those are in those verses I'm getting to, that I was getting to, the earnest of our inheritance. There's a heaven that awaits, but there's an earnest that you get right now. And an earnest is a taste of it before you get the full thing. In other words, there's something wonderful awaiting us. And the proof we have in that it's awaiting us is that He gives us a little taste of it while we're here. The earnest that He gives you, it's like if you have an inheritance, somebody might give you the earnest of that inheritance. That means I got a bunch waiting for you when you get to this place in your life. And in order to prove to you that I've got it, and you can already have a benefit of it, I'm going to give a little bit of it to you right now. So that will be an evidence to you that's with you all the time that this is awaiting. When you're in this old troubled world, sometimes it's hard to imagine something good awaiting. But when you go to the Lord and you look to Him and you trust Him, you have the goodness of the Lord right here, right now, where you feel His presence that lets you know that's awaiting. And that's how you handle all the troubles and the difficulties. Can I say to you, God's got good things waiting for you. He's got good things down here that you're earnest. But what's awaiting when we go over there? I saw a glimpse of it this morning. There won't be any more problems or troubles or cares. Our loved ones are already there. You know, they're with the Lord. And while I'm here, I got His earnest. The earnest of that inheritance. It came, it's the same, it's that inheritance. It's a little heaven down here below. It's the blessings you have when you feel His presence. You have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you. We love you.
I'm sure. He's all.